Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott, and April is National Poetry Month. But let's face it, there are a lot of people out there who just are not interested in reading or listening or talking about poetry. Otherwise, average readers who are, for whatever reason, simply averse to verse. Well, we're going to see if we can change that. Victoria Chang is a poet, most recently of a collection called The Boss. She recently compiled for Huffington Post a list called 13 Poetry Collections for People Who Think They Don't Like Poetry. Victoria, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Why do you think it is that poetry repels so many readers, many of whom probably haven't even given it a chance?
You know, I think it really starts in high school. And I think that, a lot of English teachers in high school, they're approaching it from a very academic standpoint. And I think that that continues, that sort of initially turns, you know, kids off, and then they never return to it. And then a lot of the verse being published today, I think, is so much entrenched in academia, it's almost like poets are writing poems just for each other and writing books just for each other. And it really alienates, I think, the rest of the world. And then it's just hard to return to that entry point now with so many different media outlets and other things that, kids can go back to, like video games or the internet. And I just think it's hard to, come back at it.
So you've compiled this list for those to dip their toe back in. First mm-hmm. poet on your list, Billy Collins, who you say is probably the best introduction to poetry for people who don't like poetry. Why so?
Well, it's just so accessible. And I think, you often hear this when you talk to people who don't read poetry or aren't interested in it. They always say that it's just too hard. I think Billy Collins is that, I call him the king of approachable and accessible poetry because he writes in a way that just, it almost feels like you're reading a newspaper or something, but that, really easy. You don't have to, your mind doesn't get stuck a lot. You just kind of flows and your eye just moves as if you're reading fiction or an easy newspaper article. But he writes about things that are a little bit deeper. And I think that that makes him a great place to start. And, he's known for that, being sort of that accessible yet actually well-respected poet even amongst, academic poets.
Here is Billy Collins reading The Best Cigarette from his collection Sailing Alone Around the Room.
The Best Cigarette. There are many that I miss, having sent my last one out a car window, sparking along the road one night years ago. The heralded ones, of course, after sex, the two glowing tips now the lights of a single ship, at the end of a long dinner with more wine to come and a smoke ring coasting into the chandelier, or on a white beach holding one with fingers still wet from a swim. How bittersweet these punctuations of flame and gesture. But the best were on those mornings when I would have a little something going in the typewriter.
Billy Collins reading the poem The Best Cigarette. That's from his collection Sailing Alone Around the Room. Victoria Chang, how do you suggest readers take in a collection of poetry? Maybe just try one or two at a time, or do you read it like you might a novel?
Well, gosh, I think you can read it any way you want. Some people start from the beginning to the end. I used to do that, and because I used to think that, well, that's how the poet wanted you to read them, this collection of poems. And then I heard some other poets, just like Robert Haas is the poet in California, and he just tosses his poems up into the air and they land where they land. And so now when I read a book of poems, I don't even read the whole thing, and books can sit on my desk for years, and I'll just take one poem and just read it once in a while. Oh, I'll just read one poem before I go to bed, or maybe I'll read this other poem a year later. It to me now, it's kind of just whatever you feel like, however you feel. And I think the internet and the advent of all this new technology has sort of changed how we receive books, even especially books like poetry that don't necessarily need to be read like a straight narrative.
There are some collections here that are newer collections, some older collections. Lucille Clifton, Louise Glick is on the list, Frederick Seidel, a New York poet, very interesting one. Another poet on your list is Sharon Olds, who lives at least part-time here in New Hampshire, and I spoke to her last year about her collection Stag's Leap. She read the poem for which the book is named. Here is an excerpt.
I feel like his victim, and he seems my victim. I worry that the outstretched legs on the heart are bent the wrong way as he throws himself off. Oh, my mate. I was vain of his faithfulness, as if it was a compliment rather than a state of partial sleep. And when I wrote about him, did he feel he had to walk around carrying my books on his head like a stack of posture volumes or the rack of horns hung where a hunter washes the venison down with the Sauvignon?
Sharon Olds reading from her poem Stag's Leap. That's from a collection of the same name. That collection largely about her divorce, extremely personal. You have another suggestion for someone who would be new to poetry to get to know Sharon Olds. What's your suggestion?
It's a book called Gold Cell, and it's, I think a lot of poets, practicing poets, often refer to Gold Cell as one of their favorite Sharon Olds books. And yeah, it's, I think all of her books are very similar. And I know poets probably hate to hear that, but you know, I think a lot of poets sort of focus on and have the same obsessions, and they might differ a little bit, but you know, I think we all kind of are concerned about what we're concerned about, and it's hard for that not to come through in the art form. But yeah, Gold Cell for me was one of the first poetry books that I bought, and it still sits, you know, in my book, on my bookshelf, and I had, it was so precious to me that I actually wrapped it in contact paper. And so, yeah, it was just so, it was such a riveting entry into the poetry world, because like Stag's Leap, you're reading it and it's almost, wow, that's just amazing that she can feel so comfortable writing about such personal things yet not turn the reader off. And I have had many relationships that have ended. So you sort of feel that universality, even though she's so incredibly personal and honest. It's quite searing, actually.
Victoria Chang is with us. She's a poet who's written an article about some poetry books and collections for people who don't think that they really like poetry. Also on your list is The Half-Finished Heaven by Nobel Prize winner Thomas Tranströmer. I hope I'm saying that properly. Tell us a little bit about his work and what makes that worth reading for the poetry skeptic.
Well, Tranströmer's just this lovely poet that a lot of Americans have translated, and he just has this incredibly macro perspective and of what sort of why we're here, and these greater kind of existential questions that I always find so interesting. Towards the end, I feel like he ends his poem so beautifully. I think in one poem he describes a newspaper like a dirty butterfly. And I always remember that image. I was thinking, who thinks of a newspaper as a dirty butterfly? And, you know, he does that again and again in all of his poems, but especially in that collection I really enjoy.
Well, you talked about tackling big existential questions, which may be precisely why people don't engage in poetry. It's frightening for them. And
right.
Humor may be one of the best ways of winning over the poetry skeptic. And you suggest a collection that's pretty funny, although often quite shocking. It's called Letters to Wendy's. Can you tell us a little bit about this collection?
Oh, right. Yeah, Letters to Wendy's is written by a poet named Joe Wenderos, who published this book a while ago. But when it came onto the scene and the world, actually, people really, it was shocking because, you know, he uses, it's almost, it does border on pornographic, but it's so brilliant because he uses the metaphor of Wendy's, the fast food restaurant, which we've all been to, you know, with Biggie's and the Frosties and that red-headed Wendy's that stares at you with this blue and white striped dress. I mean, think of how rich or a minefield potentially all of these images could be in this collection of poems that he supposedly had written over a year on comment cards, you know, sitting at the fast food chain. And they're all these kind of prose poems, you know, just kind of loose little blocks of language. And it just, you can read those and you'll just be laughing out loud.
Well, we found a couple of the most innocent selections in the book and had our producer, Zach Nugent, read a couple entries. Here he is.
January 3rd, 1997. I've been sort of hesitant to mention this, but I believe one of your employees, you must know the one I speak of, is a beaver. It's impossible to look into her face, to to hear the sounds she makes, and to see the way she moves, the way she carries bits of wood, and not feel that this is a beaver. I've not mentioned this before because, obviously, beavers are powerful creatures.
Producer Zach Nugent there reading from Letters to Wendy's. So these are all collections that you would recommend for the poetry novice. Any that you would suggest they avoid?
I tend to avoid personally anything that feels too overly sentimental, too cliched. I think for me, a lot of poetry professors and teachers are always saying, read old collections, things from a long, long time ago. And honestly, I've never loved really old poetry. And I know people recommend Emily Dickinson and all this kind of stuff, but I've never loved that kind of poetry. I like things that are more current, maybe the last 20 or 30 years max. And especially for people who don't read poetry regularly, I would say, you can just read current stuff and it'll be more applicable to your daily life.
Well, Victoria, while we have you on the line, April 15th has come to have different significance for people as the anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombings. Any recommendations for us for poems for an occasion like this?
I actually think that there's a book by Bob Hickok, mm-hmm. It's called Elegy Ode, and it talks a lot about death, and he's really, really accessible, and he's really funny. That's a definite possibility as something to read. And, The Rose by Lee Young Lee, it talks a lot about family and love, and it's very soft and gentle, and it's kind of like a warm hot cup of hot chocolate, but it's also kind of sad at the same time. So I think that there's books like that would definitely have that feeling of comfort. And then there's a book by Donald Hall. He wrote this great book called Without.
Mm-hmm. After Jane Kenyon, his wife, died.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful book. And he's very easy to read and is very sort of well-known amongst non-poets, too, I think. And Jane Kenyon, there's a great example of really simple, short, easy-to-read poems that are so impactful. Her poems are a lot about sort of death, but they're just uplifting at the same time.
Victoria Chang, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Victoria Chang is a poet, and her most recent book called The Boss was published by McSweeney's last year. You'll find a link to read her full list of poetry collections for people who do not like poetry. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, we understand that poetry can be a little intimidating for the uninitiated or those who just plain don't like it. That's why we're celebrating National Poetry Month with a low-stakes challenge, asking listeners to create and send in their own original haikus about public radio. So, first a refresher. A haiku is composed of three lines. First line, 5 syllables. Second line, 7 syllables. Third line, 5 syllables. In case you need a little inspiration, here is a submission from Julie to get you started. Baby in the car, chanting the toll-free number, making pledge time fun. You can share your own public radio haiku on our Facebook page or on Twitter at Word of Mouth. And don't forget to use the hashtag Radio Haiku. There's more Word of Mouth coming right after the break. Please stay with us.